Psalm 62, would you stand together, please, in respect to reading God's Word? Pray for Brother and Mrs. Derek Young. Brother Young is down in Lexington, and Mrs. Young is here. I didn't know they were having family problems. And so please pray for them. I understand why he kicked her out, but I don't know how long it's going to be. And so pray for Derek and Elizabeth Young, if you would. Hi, Mrs. Young. You knew I was going to say something. All right, Psalm 62. If you don't have found Psalm 62, just look intelligent wherever you're at, and we'll start reading. All right, everybody good? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119, verse 165. That's my theme verse. Amen. All right. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Look at this verse 2. He only. Just stop there. He only. Nothing else. When David wrote this to Jeduthun, he pressed those words. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Jump down to verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. I know you're strong in the Lord. I know you're faithful. You're here at church on Sunday morning. I know as I walked into your foyer and your greeter area and saw all the missionaries, you're a mission-minded church. I know you're solid. I want to encourage you to continue on to be faithful. I want to preach to you a message this morning, waiting on God. Waiting on God. We don't know God's plan, but we know God knows His plan. We don't know God's timing, but we know God knows His timing. We don't know all, and you know, can I be honest with you? I've got a lot of busted bones all through my body through the years. Busted all my ribs. My nose has been busted several times from boxing, and my ankles and my hands and different things. The pain was a lot better when I got past it, and I just had to wait for the healing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't. My pastor's not the one with cancer. But I know that if you learn to wait, there's always a great victory. Father in heaven, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll bless this time. Father in heaven, I've spent time with you alone. And Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture that you helped me. And Lord, even since I've wrote the message, I've reviewed it several times. Now, Father, I bow before you and ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll meet with us. Father, these folks have made us feel very welcome. And Father, my wife and I are very unworthy of that. But Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll bind the devil, the demons of hell, that you'll put a hedge around us, and that you'll speak to every heart. Thank you, Father, for the different ministries that are going on. I pray that you'll help me to be expedient about my time. And God, I pray with an expectant spirit as a dying man to dying people that you'll meet with us. Father, I yield myself to you. I yield my mind. I yield my voice. I yield my mannerisms. I hunger for your presence. I hunger for your power. I hunger for a fresh filling. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Probably the most difficult thing that we do when we desire to please God with our lives is to wait on Him. Waiting takes patience. Waiting takes faith. Waiting takes focus. God is never late. He is always on time. God's timetable is not our timetable. This psalm is a psalm of David to the chief musician, Jeduthun. Jeduthun is only mentioned in two other passages in the entire Scriptures. But Jeduthun and his sons are somebody for us to take a close look at today to be able to understand. This is the second psalm so far which is dedicated to Jeduthun. Psalm 39 was also dedicated to him, as David wrote it under the direction of the Holy Spirit. There are also two other psalms dedicated to him, Psalm 77 and Psalm 89. So out of the 150 psalms that God had David write that were given to David through the direction of the Holy Spirit, God saw fit to take four of those psalms and direct them in a job that in a encouragement to Jeduthun and his sons for what they did. These four psalms have patience all through them. I wanted to know more about Jeduthun to help me understand why David specifically dedicated this psalm to him. Jeduthun and his sons were actually musicians, ministers, porters, or if I can say this, doorkeepers at the ark or the tabernacle. I want you to picture with me, if we could encompass this room today and be inside of the tabernacle area. We've got the Holy of Holies that's there, all of the different pieces of furniture and the priests. But I want you to come to the gate with me, if you would, the main gate of entrance, and I want you to see the man that stand there. In just a moment, I'll show you, 24 hours a day, never leaving their post and doing a job. And what happened is, no matter the type of weather, no matter the situation, there were men that were there. They were not guards. They were musicians. David would pass by. David would see them. David would stand back and admire them. David would be overwhelmed at their character and their stability and their constantness. Can you imagine the patience, determination that it took for these men? Hold your finger here in Psalm 62. Turn back with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and I want you to see for yourself. 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, if you would please. 1 Chronicles 16, and go to verse 37. Verse 37. 1 Chronicles 16, and verse 37. So he left there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the Ark continually, as every day's work required. Did you see just that? We're not down to where I want you to see, but I want you to look at that verse again. So we left there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the Ark, what's the next word? Continually, as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom with their brethren, 78. Obed-Edom, also the son, look at this, of Jeduthun and Hosea, to their be porters. And Zadok the priest and his brethren the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord upon the altar of the burnt offering continually morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord which he commanded Israel. And with them Heman and Jeduthun and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name, to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. Verse 42. And with them Heman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals for those that should make a sound, and with musical instruments of God. And the sons of Jeduthun were porters. And all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to his house. Can you imagine how these men lived, the way they lived day after day, consistent without wavering? Consistent without wavering. Consistent without wavering. We're living in a constant changing world. We're living in an evolving world. We're living in a world where people are changing. People are dropping standards of all kinds. People are not seeing the importance of consistency in a walk with God. People are not seeing a consistency of coming to church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, be there for revival meetings and missions conferences. And people are falling by the wayside. Families are splitting. Marriages are leaving apart. Children are not following in the path that they would have been trained to. Even the though the Bible tells him, train up a child in the way he should go. Now, my friend, when it says when he is old, he will not depart from it, that's still a decision of that child. So if you're a parent here today and you've lost some children, they broke your heart, I'm not attacking you. That's their decision that they made. But we're looking in a generation that it's hard to see another generation. We've raised a generation that has been so convenient of the things they've had, they become lazy-minded. And when they become lazy-minded, they become lazy in their actions. And when they become lazy in their actions, they become lazy in their lives. We're living in a generation that it's lost its consistent walk with God. But as we look at Jeduthun today, a sinner just like you and me, as we look at Jeduthun today, a man that deserves hell just like you and me outside of trusting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, David wrote 4 Psalms to him. Oh, for this reason, he was consistent. He was always there. He did his job. He was faithful. He was unmovable. Nothing wavered in any area. He was just the same. In this day of impatience, in this day of intolerance, in this day of inconsistency, lack of character, and so on, we as God's people must look and learn from a psalm like this. Look in verse number 1 of Psalm 62. Turn back there if you would, please. In Psalm 62, the Bible says, truly, or only, or verily, just at that opening word, truly, it means, oh, only. He's writing to Jeduthun and he says, truly with all of my heart, I'm writing these words. Faith alone which rests on God alone builds true confidence in God. Did you hear what I said? Faith alone that develops a true confidence in God. My soul waiteth upon God as David wrote these words. My inmost self draws near in a reverent obedience to God. As David looked at the life of Jeduthun and his sons, he said, it's moving in my life. Can I tell you this? Every one of the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, from the youngest child to the senior saint, is valuable at this time. Whether it's your pastor and his wife is going through, for you to maintain that walk with God, you to maintain that consistency with God, you do not falter, you do not fall back when those times and struggles, you to stay in your place doing what God's called you to do. Brother Dave, I'm just sitting here. So is Brother Burchett. Drove 90 miles. I will never forget what he did today. I'll never forget that somebody wiped that counter in that men's restroom that I went back and used. I'll never forget that somebody made sure that there was paper towels in the paper towel holder that I used to dry my hands. I'll never forget that somebody stocked the books in the bookshelf as I turned the dial and I looked at the books. I'll not forget that somebody went ahead and made sure that the glass doors that we opened up were clean today. I'll not forget that there was 4 men standing up here. I'll not forget that Miss Biber was singing a song. I'll not forget that the choir was all in their place. I'll not forget that there was a pianist at her place. My friend, don't think that you're not important. You are more important in the family of God than you have any idea. Each one of you, these adults, and even some of these teenagers could raise the hand if I asked the question, do you know anybody that used to come to church? Do you know anybody that used to serve the Lord? Do you know anybody that used to? One of the saddest days in my life is when they stopped by to see us at the house and they said we would no longer be running the buses for our church because we don't want, in essence, they said this, kids like you to come. I'll never forget as my mom looked at me and she said, how are we going to get to church? Well, I'm from Missouri. And I drove 2 years illegal getting my mama and my brother and sister to church. Right. You did what, Brother Dave? Where I'm from, folks, you don't need a driver's license. Come on. They've messed up on this new car design. Remember when the wings were out there? A little guy like me could ring you in there and you can run the clutch and everything. Just hang on, you can go. But what did the neighbors say? Get out of the road. That's what the neighbors said. I can't imagine what Jeduthun looked like, but it doesn't matter. He was used to be a blessing to David's heart. I don't know how tall Jeduthun was. I don't know how short he was. I don't know anything about his sons. I don't even know how many of his sons he had. But God said, I want written in my book, David, that this was a consistent man. He lived there day after day. He was doing what he was told to do. I look on and I see in this verse number one, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. To wait on God and for God is a true position of faith. To wait upon Him is true sincerity of our love for Him. Verse 2, the Bible says, He only is my rock. David had often lain concealed in rocky caverns. And here he compares his God to a secure refuge and declares Him to be his only real protection, all sufficiency in Himself, and never failing. We also see the word that He is salvation and He is my defense. We can dwell in God as our warrior. I love those words at the end of verse 2. I shall not be greatly moved. David wrote, God's always been there for me. God's always been my Lord. God's always been my King. God's always been my guide. He's always consistency. If I just stop the message right there, it speaks to my heart. God, if I can just be in my place and do what I'm supposed to do. My wife and I are not quitting. We're turning a page. And I remember after the 23 years in Iowa that we were going to come to Kentucky and the hearts that were broken, that I wished I could go and grab every child that ever came to Cedar River Baptist Camp hand. But can I tell you this? The same thing's happening here, but I want you to get this. I don't know what God's going to do, but it's not in a building. It's not in a person. It's what God does in our hearts. Knowing that I'll no longer be directing the Circle C Baptist Ranch, I've walked to the buildings. My wife and I still live on the property. But it hit me like a train. It's not the buildings. It's not the people. It's not the ground. It's what God does in hearts. And as he looked at Jeduthun and he looked at Jeduthun's son, he saw them as a human being. But God began to stir in his heart and move in his heart. And he began to think about what God just did in the life of Jeduthun and what God did in the life of his sons and what God was doing in his heart. He said, He only is my rock. He is my salvation. We can dwell in God as our warrior. I love those words at the end of verse 2. I shall not be greatly moved. God is our fortress and God is our castle. All of us that know Christ as our personal Savior should rejoice because of the comfort these two verses should give us. Brother Dale Burchett's in the back and reminded me, Brother Burchett was a camp director. He came up to Cedar River Baptist Camp for several years with Dr. Bob Ross and some young men from Oklahoma City. And Dr. Vineyard got a burden to be able to start a camp. And Brother Vineyard started a camp outside of the city there, beautiful property, I've been there, built beautiful log cabins. And then the day came. The property was sold. Brother Burchett and I shed tears together, and I've often said to him, it's not what buildings are. It's not what ground is. But it's what God does in our lives. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, God's your rock too. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, God is your castle too. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, God is everything that you need to stay consistent to do and to be what God needs you to be during this valley, this mountain, this testing, whatever it is that each of you individually take it. God is there for you, and God wants to be the same God He was before, the same God He is now, and the same God He will be in the future. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How did He do it? How did He stand there? How did David stand there and say these words? Then he looked at Goliath the giant. He said, this day my God will give thee into my hands. How did he know when that rock was going to come out before the rock was even put into the slingshot? How did he know that he was going to stand there that day? He didn't, but he was consistent and he kept going forward and he did what he could do. Go back to the side of the mountain with me. When there's all those soldiers that are dug in and all those soldiers are afraid and all those soldiers have listened, give me a man, give me a man. And David looks to the left and David looks to the right. He sees ability. He sees strength. He sees his brothers that have all fought. And he says some simple words. What's going to be done to the man that goes out? And his brother steps forward and says, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. Best put it this way. David, just shut your stinking mouth and go on back home to those sheep. David said these simple words. What have I done? Is there not a cause? My friend, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you have a cause. And that cause is to stay on your knees, and that cause is to stay faithful, and that cause is to keep the buses running, and that cause is to keep knocking the doors, and that cause is to keep everything going, and God will bless in a great way. Oh, my friend, today as we look at this passage of Scripture, our greatest problem is we try to figure out what God is doing and why He is not doing what I want and when I want it. We now see a repeat, like a song repeat, in verse number 6. Jump down with me and I'm hurrying, please. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In verse 2, we see the word greatly, but not here we see it in verse 6. Our personal weaknesses might cause us to be impatient, lack of faith, question, but our time of salvation should be the first and foremost cause to have us unmovable. This is why in verse 6, greatly is removed. And we see our message outlined in verse number 7. Now don't get mad, but that was just an introduction. I promise you, you're going to be the first to know when I'm done. You are. Just stop and think. Greatly moved. There's movement when we use the word greatly. But in verse 6, there's no greatly. I shall not be moved. So how can we live a life and not be moved? Number one, look with me if you would please in verse number 7. In God is my salvation. Number one, what we've got to decide today is our foundation, our mercy, our grace, our forgiveness was done that day that we realized, according to the Bible, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. God, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Ask you to come into my heart and ask you to give me eternal life. The foundation of why these men, their salvation was in God. Their hope was in God. God poured out His mercy. God poured out His grace. And if you're saved and know you're saved and know you're born again, that ought to be your salvation, to double nut it and screw it to the floor and not let it be moved. Number two, we see this in verse number 7. In God is my salvation. That's where my mercy is. That's where my grace is. That's where my forgiveness is. You know what? That's where your deliverance is. Next, we see this. And my glory. What do you think about that? David said, this is my salvation. He's my deliverer. But number two, He's my glory. You got to praise Him. Thank you, Father, that you've looked on us and you saw fit for us to go through this trial. Thank you, Father, for this time that we're going through, not understanding, but I know your grace is sufficient. I know your mercy is sufficient. I know you'll be with me. Listen to those words of David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. Why? Because He's your glory. You ever just go through something and say, well, praise the Lord. Well, just glory be. Hallelujah. That's a blessing. My wife and I were traveling. At that time, we had a Tonner truck and a fifth wheel trailer. And traffic was stopped. And we just couldn't go any farther at all. And what ended up happening, I needed to use the facilities. And I said, honey, I want you to slide behind the steering wheel. I'm going to go back in the trailer and I'm going to go. We were frustrated from sitting there the whole time. I said, now if traffic starts moving, I'll stay in the trailer and I'll just let you pull off the next ramp and then we'll switch back over. I've never driven this big of a thing before. I can't do it. And you know, like all you women were having a drama time right there. Although my wife is an excellent driver and she's driven big rigs and everything else. What ends up happening, I go back, we take care of everything, I shut the power off, I open the door and I jump out. And when I jump out in midair, the truck and trailer take off down the interstate highway. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but this 5'6" boy started picking them up and putting them down. I thought, if she was in drama when she pulls off the road and I'm not in the trailer, she's really going to be in drama. I mean to tell you, I was picking them up and putting them down. I was sucking. I had no two lungs. I had five of them, and I was expanding them all. I got a hold, and I grabbed a hold of that handle of that Tonner truck. I opened that door, and what every lady puts beside her in there, it weighs at least 10 pounds. It has 5,698 items in them that you can never find them when you reach for them. It's called a purse. It hit Interstate 80 and exploded all over the place. We didn't have an argument. We had a time of intense fellowship. Here's the end of the story. You're laughing, and when it was all over with, we laughed. But there was six people that was killed if we kept running down the road. we could have been one of those people. I don't care what it is that happens. I don't care what discouraging time go through. God has a purpose. He is your glory. Praise Him in the middle of the day. Praise Him in the middle of the night. Praise Him on top of the mountain. Praise Him in the valley. Praise Him when you're encouraged. Praise Him when you're discouraged. Praise Him when you can't hardly move everything, but you can still hold them in front of you and they're all still there. Learn, number one, God is your salvation. Number two, He's your glory. Praise Him. Number three, look what the Bible says in verse 7. The rock of my strength, He is your stability. Jeduthun stood there. Jeduthun's son stood there. They were unmovable. They were there in the morning. They were there in the evening. They were there doing what they're supposed to do. I'm coming back next Sunday and I'm going to cancel the meeting where I'm supposed to be in Wisconsin just to see what these two, I don't know what they were, they're up here running. Lord, have mercy on a man that puts stripes all over his britches and all over his shirts and throws pillows. And then I was a drill instructor for 3 years. I'm going to teach that guy how to really sing cadence. Amen. Amen. I heard him say attention. Oh, he did a great job. It was great. I thought, man, that's worth coming to church just to watch those two idiots. I mean, those two men. It was great. Those kids loved it. I thought they'll never forget that. Us with big kids. I mean, us old kids. We'll never love. Well, you pray for me. My wife says my suits are looking awful. I said, what do you mean my suits are looking? They're looking baggy. I said, well, I can't help it, honey. Folks, we did a height measurement. I've lost a half an inch of height in the last year. If you let Lord lets me stay around here for long, I'm going to be disappearing. Oh, God is my salvation. God is my glory. God is my strength. He's the pillar of a cloud, and the fire was always there. They knew that when those children of Israel left Pharaoh, and they've gone, they could hear the thunder of those chariots. They could hear those army soldiers clunking away. And yet God put that great cloud up in the daytime and that great fire at nighttime. And He made a separation. My friend, I just want you to know to stay consistent. God is your salvation. Number two, to stay consistent. God is your glory. Number three, to stay consistent. Let God be your ultimate strength in time of trial. Let Him be your strength in time of discouragement. Let Him be your strength when you don't know what to do. Do you ever think about this? God's just waiting for us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's right there. I have no idea how many times I've been working on something. One day I said to my son, I said, son, where is that bolt? We were putting a carburetor back on a 2010 John Deere. And we looked and we looked and we looked and we looked. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God said, why don't you talk to me a little bit? I put my arm on my son and I said, Father, could you just put that bolt in a place when I open my eyes, I can see it. When I open my eyes after asking God to be there for me, it was right between my knees. I don't know if He picked it up and put it there. I don't know if it was there all the time. To be honest with you, I don't care. I just found the bolt. Oh, when David looked at Jeduthun, when David looked at Jeduthun's sons, he said, oh God, give me something to write. And God, the Holy Spirit, says, I'm your salvation. I'm your glory. I'm your strength. And finally, in verse number 7, He says, I'm your refuge. You know what? I'm your security. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, can I challenge you? During these times of what's happening, during these times of we're not sure, during these times that you're trying to hold together, just stop and go to Psalm 62 and picture some men that we'll probably never know when we get to heaven, but God used them as David looked at them, and let your preacher and your preacher's wife and your preacher's family see you knowing if you died today, you'd go to heaven. That's number one. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, God loves you. I love the whosoever's in the Bible. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, what a joy to be able to lead somebody to Christ. Have them hear those words that they say, dear God, I realize I am a sinner. God, I'm sorry for my sin. God, I ask you to come into my heart and to be my Lord and Savior. Katie's mom and dad have seen a little short lady named Carol. She's in charge of my van route for the Sunday school class. She can't write. Everything's backwards. But she takes care of all of the addresses and the phone numbers. on that van road. Last Sunday I called in, they had 17 on that van. When I knocked on a door and I went into a home, there was this Carol and there was a man in a wheelchair named Steve Bowman. Steve couldn't walk. He's in a wheelchair. And Steve said, "Brother Smith," and they told me about their church, and I had the privilege to lead them both to Christ. Saw them both get baptized. Saw them both come to church. Steve said, "Brother Smith, would you pray I could walk?" And I said, "Yes, sir." I'd go over about every other day, have a time of prayer with Steve. And then in my personal life, I'd pray, "Dear Lord, let him walk." Steve went to the doctor. A man took him in his wheelchair. And I went over to see Steve. And Steve said, "Brother Smith, watch this." He was in his big old easy chair. And he stood up on a walker. I said, "Steve." He went from the wheelchair to the walker. He went from the walker to a cane. He went from a cane to walking in and out of church and getting on there. And until the day he died, he said, "God did it." But listen to this. At his funeral, a son that I didn't even know called me. And I did a memorial service. 38 Catholic people came that day because they said, "We couldn't figure out why he wanted to go to that Baptist church. And we couldn't figure out what was so special about that Sunday school class. But we had to come and see." And they came to the funeral. And a 90-plus-year-old Catholic lady, my wife and I sat about the fourth row back, led her to Christ. And this is what she said when she got saved. She said, "I've never felt so clean. I've never felt so good. But can you help me out? I'm a Catholic. What am I going to tell the priest now?" Glory to God, let me tell him. You know what? She lives in England. She said, "I'll go back to England with knowing if I died today, I'd go to heaven." So many more things I want to say, but I want to conclude this, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let God be your salvation. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, please trust Him today. Number two, church, let Him be your glory, your praise. Number three, let Him be your strength and your stability. And number four, let Him be your refuge and your security. Can I tell you this? It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here today and you're not absolutely sure if you died today you'd go to heaven. I want to pray for you. But you're here today and you say, "Brother Smith, I know without a doubt or without any question, if I died today, I'd go to heaven. And I can raise my hand as a testimony to God." Would you slip it up as a testimony to Him? God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you. You say, "Brother Smith, I'm here today and I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me?" I sure will if you'll slip your hand up. Is there one like that? All right. God bless you. I see that hand back there. Oh, I encourage you. I encourage you. If that's you, would you seek out? Would you come? There's somebody here today. If you're a man, there's a man. If you're a lady, there's a lady that would love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Christian friend, as you were listening to the message, and as we looked together and went down through Psalm 62, you said, "Brother Dave, God spoke to my heart about me being what God wants me to be, that David saw in the life of Jeduthun. God spoke to my heart during this service, Brother Smith. Would you pray for me?" I sure will. If you slip your hands up, slip them up, slip them up, slip them up all over the auditorium. Can I encourage you? Live what God just told you to in your life. Father in heaven, thank you for these precious people. Thank you for the hands that raised. Thank you for those two that raised their hand. They're not sure if they died today, they go to heaven. I plead, Holy Spirit of God, that they'll come. Lord, that they'll let somebody take the Bible and show them how they can know for sure. Lord, don't let them leave this place. And then for the Christians all across the room that said you spoke to their hearts, God, would they please come and just, Lord, just spend some time alone with you. Thank you, Father, for what you are. Thank you for what we've learned today from Psalm 62. Bless now, Father, in this invitation with heads bowed and eyes closed.